Our study is out of Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 17, contrasting the life by the Holy Spirit versus the sin nature. The theme of the epistle to the Romans is that God's righteousness is available to man by faith from start to finish, Romans 1, 16 and 17. This belief is often not accepted in Christendom. Some claim that one must have faith plus works to be justified. Others say that though we're justified by faith, we cannot righteously live a godly life by faith. After Paul taught that we believers can live by the power of the Holy Spirit and victory over the sin nature, in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 17, he contrasted a life that is lived by the Holy Spirit versus one that is lived by the sin nature. So we study this passage for our insight, our application, and edification. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into his word. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have of being able to meet together and study the Word of God, a privilege that many people in the world, many Christians, do not have. And we also have the language, the Bible in our language. We also have the original manuscripts, and we can do studies, so we have a tremendous responsibility. We ask, Father, that we take advantage of the ministries of the Spirit of God to understand the text, to use it, and to apply it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I want to read the verses, and then we'll look at them. Romans 8, 5 through 17. For they that are after the flesh, that's Paul's figure of speech for the sin nature, do mind the things of the sin nature, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally, that's the sin nature oriented, minded, is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal, that's the fleshly mind, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh or operating by the sin nature cannot please God. But you are not in the sinful nature, but in the Spirit, so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ is in you, the body, physical body, is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that indwells you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh or the sin nature. But if you live after the sin nature, you will die. But if through the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The word Abba is, in Aramaic, is actually a child's endearment term. We would translate it daddy. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint or co-heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Okay, in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, Paul contrasted the traits of a life that is lived by the sin nature versus the traits lived by one in the Holy Spirit. He described the traits of a life lived by the sin nature first as follows. Those who live by the sin nature have their minds on what the sin nature desires. And in case we want to know what the sin nature desires, it's clarified for us in Galatians 5, verses 19 to 21. I took a liberty to use the English Standard Version. It explains that these desires include immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits or outbursts of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, which are wild parties in Roman times, and similar sins. Paul added that the mind of a life lived in the sin nature is death, that such a mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, and it cannot do so, and it cannot please God. This is why in many efforts in Christendom, especially in evangelical circles, they try to discipline the sin nature to live a life that is righteous. They can't do it. That's why it's foolhardy to try to discipline that sin nature to do it. Paul then described the traits of a life lived by the Holy Spirit's power as follows. Those who live by means of the Holy Spirit's power through faith have their minds set on what the Holy Spirit desires. And in case we want to know what that is, Galatians 5:22-23, and once again I utilize the English Standard Version, explains that these desires include love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, Paul added that the mind of one who lives by the Holy Spirit's power is life and peace. And by implication, it also sharply contrasts the mind of the sin nature, since the godly person's mind is friendly toward God, it submits to God's law, and it's able to do so, and it pleases God. We do that by implication, because it's just the opposite of the sin nature in Romans 8:16-8. Paul then applied this teaching to believers in Romans 8:9-11, describing the blessings of living by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwelt Paul's readers, so the presence of his traits in their experience assured them that they were saved, Romans 8:9. I've used this many times. That's one of the great evidences that you're saved, the presence of the Holy Spirit. If there has been a transformation, you've come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and it shifts into a life of love and joy, peace, gentleness, patience, where you didn't have that kind of a life before, that's an evidence of the Holy Spirit. That's evidence of not only of the reality of his salvation, it's also evidence of the reality of the Christian faith. Now, I know in my own personal life, I was full of restlessness. Very, very restless before I accepted Christ. When I accepted Christ, it all settled down and became very peaceful. And that was an instantaneous change that occurred. So it's wonderful to see the fruits of the Spirit, and he gives his evidence that we are saved. Well, though our mortal bodies are set to die due to the presence of the sin nature in them, the Holy Spirit in our souls still gives a spiritual life in our mortal bodies. This is why, even though the bodies themselves, the redemption of Christ has not been applied to the body, the earthly body. It will be applied to the earthly body at the rapture of the church, but not until then. That's why we still get sick. That's why we have weaknesses. That's why believers still physically die, because the redemption has not been applied to the body. But, of course, someday it will be. Since Paul had mentioned the current unredeemed status of the believer's body in this present life, he added that since the Holy Spirit, who had raised Jesus from the dead and dwelt them, he would also make their mortal bodies alive. And, of course, this occurs at the rapture of the church. And we have passages like 1 Corinthians 15:51-58, which is the most graphic in regards to this. We also have 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. Jesus implied the rapture in John 14:1-2. So we have a wonderful hope. Someday the redemption of Christ is going to be applied to our physical bodies. And we'll be, if we die before the rapture, we'll be resurrected in power. If we don't die and we're still alive, our bodies will be changed. And we will still have the capacity, like Christ's body, to eat, like he was able to eat and drink liquids, that kind of a thing. We'll be able to materialize and dematerialize like the Lord Jesus did. We'll be like him. When we see him, we shall be like him. And we will be able to have the glory turned on. Christ now dwells in an unapproachable light. But when he appeared to his disciples, he didn't have that light work on. He just appeared alive, and he told him, look at my hands and my side, and it was his actual body. So it'll be these actual bodies that we have, but they're going to be reformatted. See, God wants to apply his salvation to us in such a way that we have complete victory, and the way we have complete victory is when even these bodies in which we had committed acts of sin, those very bodies themselves are redeemed and transposed. And so in these bodies, we will live in these bodies forever, but they'll be changed. because of the tremendous salvation that is in God. Okay, Paul then applied this teaching to believers in Romans 8, 9 to 11, describing the blessings of living by the Spirit, and I just dealt with that. C, Paul then urged his believing readers to live by means of the Holy Spirit, not by the sin nature. For if they lived by their sin nature as believers, they would physically die premature deaths because God punished sin even in the lives of believers. Now we know this from passages like 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. I'll just look at this, because this kind of shocks people often as believers. But God can discipline a believer by taking him home to glory prematurely. 1 John 5:16, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he's talking about physical death, he shall ask in prayer, and he shall give him life for them that sin not to the point of death. There is a sin unto death. In such a case, I do not say that he should pray for it. So we have to be careful. Also, you'll remember 1 Corinthians 11:28-30. The Apostle Paul warned, for this reason, many of you are weak and sickly, and some of you sleep, which is a euphemism for physical death, because they had partaken of the Lord's body at the communion service in an unworthy manner. This is why we always pause and we give opportunity for people to confess the sin before the Lord. Very dangerous thing to partake of the Lord's body when you know that you're harboring sin. That can lead to all sorts of physical problems, or it can even lead to a premature death. God the Father takes his Son and his Son's work on the cross very seriously. So he doesn't mind. In fact, he wants us to partake in the communion service, but he wants us to do it without sin. So we really need to watch it in that area. Okay. However, if the believer lives by faith in reliance on the Holy Spirit, figuratively putting to death the deeds of the sin nature by effectively boycotting life by the sin nature, they would live relatively long lives. Now, this doesn't mean that you're automatically going to live a long life, because the Lord's will may be for you to die a martyr's death, and that happens not because of sin and whatnot. But generally speaking, long life is something that comes in a believer's situation if he's living a righteous life. Where if he lives an unrighteous life and continues in that, his life definitely will be cut short because of the discipline of God. So, Paul then explained how living by means of the Holy Spirit's power is a very lofty calling for us. He did this in verses 14 through 17. First, we who are led by the Spirit of God are actual sons of God, so we should live like it. We're actually born ones of God. When you get to heaven, you're going to see this. You're going to see the reality of it. God the Father is going to treat you just like one of his own, just like a father would treat you, like your own father would treat you like your own child. That's exactly how God's going to treat you, because God views you that way. You are his kids, okay? You're his child, his son, his daughter. And the love of God for us, the familiarity of God, the attention that God will give us, it'll be just like a father. It's going to be amazing. You're going to see God the Father in all his tremendous, infinite glory, and yet he has this attitude towards us like he's our dad. It's just an amazing experience. So that obligates us to live like sons of God. If we are sons of God, we better live like it. Second, we're not given a spirit that makes us slaves again to fear, but the Holy Spirit, by whom we cry out to God the Father with the endearing term Abba in fulfilling fellowship with him. Abba in Aramaic literally translates daddy. It's not the formal word for father, like Av, but this is Abba. This is your daddy term. And this is an amazing thing that we actually can refer to our Father in heaven as though we would our own dad. And that's fulfilling fellowship with the Lord. Third, the Holy Spirit reassuringly testifies with our human spirit that we are God's children. This is something, if you know Christ as your Savior and you're in fellowship with the Lord gives you this subjective assurance that you really are his child. And that's a wonderful thing. Fourth, as his children, we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, a promise of vast wealth. Everything that God owns, everything that Lord Jesus Christ owns, you're an heir of. Imagine that. Think of the universe, the stellar universe, the myriads of galaxies that are out there, and the planets going around, and all sorts of suns that are in each galaxy. All of that that God owns, we someday will. And of course, he's going to do away with the former heavens and the earth, and he's going to bring in brand new heavens and earth, but you're going to be part owner of all of that. So you'll have access to that. If you want to go up and pick a fruit from a tree and eat it, it's yours. You own it. So you'll be able to do that. It's just amazing the riches that we have in our Father and in our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And then fifth, being co-heirs with God, with Christ, necessarily involves suffering for righteousness like Jesus did, that we might share in his glory that the Father gave him for suffering for righteousness. Now this is a lofty calling. The disciples, when they were persecuted for righteousness' sake, they rejoiced and they praised God that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. We often don't view persecution with such a lofty calling, but it's a lofty calling. The reason is there's a tremendous reward. If you have to suffer for righteousness' sake, in eternity you're going to be rewarded because Jesus suffered for the sake of righteousness. God wants his children to enter into that. So as they go ahead and suffer for righteousness, there are rewards for them. It's amazing what God has set up for us. The plan that God the Father and God the Son and the Holy Spirit, obviously, all have for believers today is an extremely lofty one. It's unimaginable to us, but it's there and it's true. So the lesson is life by the sin nature leads to sin, unrest and shame, and a shorter earthly lifespan, where life by the Holy Spirit leads to righteousness, peace, fellowship with God, and a longer lifespan of very lofty spiritual calling. So in application, may we realize that we are not only obligated by God to live by the Holy Spirit's power, but also the lofty calling from the Lord of even doing so, that we might rely on the Holy Spirit for how we live this earthly life. I said how we life this earthly life. I should say live, and I'll change that and get it to Craig and put it on the website. Okay. If you had some questions or feedback in regards to the lesson itself, feel free to bring it up. If you wanted to discuss something else, go ahead.